You know, it's frustrating when something starts great but has a bad ending. And if you watched the TV series Lost, you know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry, but that is 6 years of my life I'll never get back. It's a bad, bad ending. And in this series, what we want to do is we want to see our relationships not just start well, but go the distance. That they'd be strong and vibrant and life-giving. And what I'm asking everybody to do is to be willing to sort of look in the mirror at yourself. This is not a time for you to look at what we're talking about today and think, oh, I know who needs to hear this. Or, you know, elbow the person next to you and say, that's what I've been talking about. This is about you. And I want you to consider having an open heart and mind, and maybe even getting some ideas, consider maybe some changes you need to make. Would you be willing to just kind of check yourself out, look in the mirror relationally? Because the reality is, if you're unwilling to do that, at some point you'll probably be looking in the rearview mirror at lost relationship, lost love. One member here who has been doing a great job of that, just letting, you know, the Holy Spirit sort of check him out, he wrote an email to James and I this week. Let me read part of it to you. Just a quick note to thank you for this year's amazing messages. Obviously a bright guy. I'm finding myself not only enjoying the service, but avid for more. For some reason, the topics you selected have hit home every weekend, and I'm thinking and rethinking about the message all throughout the week. I've been inviting people left and right, and I think the people at work think you're paying me to advertise because I can't stop talking about it. FYI, we've been having problems for some time in our marriage and have had trouble communicating, but this series has helped us open up, and it has literally become like therapy. Every week now, I'm eager for the weekend to come so I can hear more and be able to put stuff into practice. And that's the goal. That we would apply what we're hearing, not just hear new stuff, not get more information, but actually put it into practice. I know that as a newly married young man, I had some things to unlearn in order to have a healthy relationship that I didn't even know I needed to unlearn. When I was growing up, the house that I lived in was pretty much just boys. My sister had gotten married, moved out. My mom was working all the time. So it was just like, Animal House meets Lord of the Flies. And it was brutal. And one of the things we loved to do to each other is scare the crap out of each other. And if you ever had an opportunity to do that to your brother, you took it. It must be done. And even if it was you that got freaked out completely, after you calmed down, maybe after you were done, you know, being mad, you would go to your brother and you would say, that was awesome. Way to go. Well done. And, you know, it was awesome. So when I got married, I just assumed that Carmen would think it was awesome too. And about 2 months into marriage, I came home and I walked in and didn't see Carmen around at all, but I heard the water ring and I realized, oh, she's in the shower. And I went, oh. And so I snuck into the bathroom, and very quietly I came over and then put my hand over the shower curtain and grabbed the top of her head. And it worked so well. She flipped out. She screamed. I thought, you know, the curtain was going to come down. And when she finally calmed down, she did not say that was awesome. And I had some things to unlearn. And I want you to know that I've worked hard at this, and I've studied, and I've prayed, and I want you to all know that today, the love doctor is in the house, okay? And I hope to give you some of the things that I have learned about what does not work. You know, they say that, you know, that there's a purpose for everyone, you know, on the planet, right? And I think my purpose in life often is to show people how not to do things. By example. And so you can learn from what an idiot I am from time to time. I had some things in my life that I look at now, and relationally it just didn't work. Things that I just thought were great or awesome, things I just loved that just didn't translate well to marriage. And so you have to be really careful, because you become like what you love. I knew a woman who loved cats. She had cat sweaters and cat mugs, cat calendars. She made cat sounds, and she smelled like cat litter. You see, healthy relationships rub off. So do unhealthy relationships. They also rub off on one another. So choose carefully what you love, because you become like what you love. And what I'm suggesting, what I'm asking you to be open to, is the idea of opening your heart to the love of God and the power of that love in the Holy Spirit in your heart and life. Because if you do that, there are some amazing things that begin to rub off. Look at this list in Ephesians chapter 5 on your outline. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Or against such things, no one's going to argue, oh, those are bad. No, those are all good. Those are all things that we want to have as part of our life, things that would describe who we are. These are the kinds of things that rub off when we open our hearts, minds, and lives to the Holy Spirit and encounter Him on a regular basis. Today, what I want to look at is, first of all, some assumptions about love. Assumptions that actually take us down a path that we don't want to go. And then I want to look at some prescriptions from the love doctor on love and how to build lasting love. Let's start with what's referred to as the love chapter from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it's not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Really, it never fails. Well, wait a minute. That's not been my experience. I think many of us could say I've experienced love failures in my life. Maybe someone left, or someone cheated, or mom and dad separated and divorced. You know, so what? Is love broken? I think we make some assumptions about love that, frankly, are very counter to the descriptions that we read in Galatians chapter 5 or 1 Corinthians 13. And we need to adjust some of those assumptions. Be careful what you assume, because you know what can happen, that when you assume, it makes an out of you and me. Yes, that's right. That's right. Assumptions carry expectations. And incorrect expectations, they lead to incorrect assumptions lead to unrealistic expectations. And then those expectations, when they're unmet, that leads to relational breakdown. So if you're taking notes, jot this down. We can assume that love is a feeling. That takes us down a path we don't want to go. Because falling in love based on feelings, that is so easy. There's nothing to that. When I was 10 years old, I fell in love with Audra Barclay from a TV show called The Big Valley. She was awesome. When I was 12 years old, I fell in love with Marianne from Gilligan's Island. And I dumped Audra. When I moved to California, I was 35 years old, and I fell in love with Double Doubles at In-N-Out Burger. Falling in love based on feelings is super easy. It's that quiver in the liver, the ocean of emotion. But love is a whole lot more than just feelings. Love impacts our emotions and our feelings in a powerful way. But feelings can be so strong that we end up ignoring reality that surrounds the one we love. We feel so strung up, so in love, that we just completely overlook that, you know, your mom's a psycho. we just overlook all of this stuff. Feelings alone are not enough to build a relationship that'll go the distance, because feelings, they come and they go. They ebb and they flow. You know, if Hallmark were to write a greeting card based on feelings, it might go something like this. If I had an ice cream cone, I'd give you half. If I had 6 candies, I'd give you 3. If I had 2 apples, 1 would be yours. If I won the lottery, I'd send you a postcard from Tahiti. You see, you know, once money's involved, the emotions can change. It ebbs and it flows. You know, falling in love is easy. It takes a pulse. Staying in love takes a plan. It's important. And if your love is driven by feelings, then your experience of love is going to be a drive-by. You're going to have to continue to find someone new when the feelings change. You can't build lasting love. We assume then love's a feeling. It takes us down a path we don't want to go. And then we can assume that love's a belief. I believe strongly this or that about love. When I was a high school pastor for several years, it was not unusual at some point for some young man to come up to me and say, "Pastor Mike, I'm in love. I'm in love." And he would describe to me what he loved so much about this girl. And at some point, I would just have to stop him and grab him by the shoulders and say, "Dude, you're in heat, okay? Relax, take a breath." If what I believe about love isn't true, then that love gets shaken super easily once I'm confronted with reality. And there are plenty of songs and movies that have proclaimed loudly that, you know, love can overcome all. Love can conquer all. All you need is love. It doesn't work that way. Because what you have to overcome is tough. It can be difficult. There's a lot of pain in the overcoming that I think we really can avoid. Not all of it, but at least some of it. The assumption is that what I believe about love is enough to make love last. If I believe so strongly, I not only ignore reality, I end up ignoring some very fundamental differences that we might have. I mean, we could be totally different on our political views and our spiritual views. We could be completely different in our family backgrounds and our spending habits and how we deal with money. We can completely ignore those things. And if you're dating or you're engaged right now, you're thinking, "Baby, that won't apply to us. Our love is strong. Our love is here to stay. We're going to be the exception because we're exceptional in our love. Is super exceptional." And if you're married, that list I just described was probably the trigger point for half at least the fights you've had over the last 10 years. You know reality. To those of you who are dating and engaged, whatever. Our differences collide and it begins to shake that foundation of what we believe about love. And then we can assume that love never judges. Love never judges. I mean, if you're really a loving person, you would never judge another human being. And then if by chance you finally get fed up with something and you go ahead and call someone out on their crap, and either them or someone close to them comes to you and says, "How can you call yourself a Christian? How can you judge someone like that?" Which, are you kidding me? So you have to overlook then all offenses, regardless, and never work toward healing and wholeness. The assumption is that love remains in toxic relationship without hope of change. Folks, that is not love. That's codependency. It's not healthy. So, what's the prescription? More cowbell. No, I'm not just kidding. What's the prescription then? Well, first of all, love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. Love is a choice. Now, unless your parents arranged your marriage, it probably started with attraction, with emotion, with feelings. I know that when I first saw Carmen, hubba hubba, Mikey likey, okay? There was some emotion, some feeling involved in all that, and that's all good, a great place to start. But if you want to build a love that lasts, it has to go far beyond that. Because the feelings, they ebb and flow. Love is something of the heart and the mind and the will. All three are hugely important. Jesus commanded that we love each other. The apostles wrote about that same theme, that we are to love one another. Look at Colossians chapter 3. The apostle Paul wrote this. And over all these virtues, put on love. Underline those three words, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Put on love. It's a choice. It's an action that makes all the difference. Now, if it were a feeling, if love were a feeling, or you just stumbled into, I fell in love, I couldn't help myself. If it was just that, then God would not command it. And he did command it. See, love is a choice. Love that goes the distance. Love that lasts goes beyond feelings when they come and go, and it chooses to remain. Chooses to love. And love, you know, isn't primarily a belief. Love is a verb. Love is a verb. It's an action. And love can act its way into a feeling. Actions have tremendous impact on our emotions. I've spoken with counselors who have described it this way. When they have a couple where one or both people are saying something like this, I just don't love him anymore. I just don't love her anymore. They say what they'll try and do is meet separately with them and at some point say, would you describe to me when you were in love, what did that look like? What were the actions that took place? What were the things that you did that showed or expressed love? And they could easily describe what those were. And then he would say something like this, do those. It's like, what? Yeah, I will, but I have to feel that first. And the counselor essentially says, no, act like it now by choice, and the feelings will follow. Choose to love, and the feelings will follow. You see, feelings of love can be revived. Now, eventually, both people have to participate, but someone has to go first. Let's read 1 John 3:18, east, west, patio, parent viewing rooms, every other church, online. We do this with our outside voices. Let's read this together. Ready? Go. Let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. When you begin to act, it can change the way that you feel. You can talk, but your actions will reveal the choices of your heart. Not the feelings necessarily, the choices of your heart. And then love has boundaries, which infers that you made some judgments to come to the place that you wanted to set some boundaries in your life. And sometimes the boundaries need to begin with me, not my boundaries on you, but on me. I received this email a while back. When I was single, I was unhappy and insecure. Then I met Ron and I became married, unhappy and insecure. When I realized I was the common denominator, I had to change. Maybe the change needs to begin with me. Maybe they need to be personal boundaries that I begin with. I see people doing that all the time around here. Folks that go to Celebrate Recovery are making some personal choices. drawing some personal boundaries, taking them to health. I sometimes need to get myself together before I try to figure anyone else out. Boundaries are an expression of love. They help us to move from toxic to healthy. And I can make healthy choices. I can move into health regardless of anyone else's choice. But so often with couples, I see one or the other saying, well, I would make that choice. I would do the right thing. I would move in this direction, but my husband or my wife isn't ready. And so you've decided I'm not going to get healthy because they're not ready. Oh, baloney. I think you're just using them as an excuse to not do what's right, to not make the changes you need to make. Oh, I just want them, you know, I just want them to come. I know I need to be involved in fellowship, and I know I need to be involved in church regularly, but, you know, my husband, my wife, just not into it. So, you know, I just don't like to go alone. Oh, shut up. Make the choices you need to make that are healthy for you. The choices, the next steps that the Holy Spirit's leading you to make. I say that, shut up, in nothing but love. You got to make choices sometimes that are difficult. Proverbs 13. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. There's a promise and a warning here. The promise is that wisdom rubs off. It's contagious. But the warning is not that if you're hanging with fools, you become a fool. The warning is that you're going to be impacted by their foolish choices. That when the explosions of their life happen, that there's going to be some shrapnel that hits you. That's the warning. And this is important because some of us have defended remaining in an unhealthy relationship. That it's, oh, well, it's not going to impact me. Well, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's going to impact you. Who you hang with impacts you. I'd be willing to bet that the first cigarette you had, you weren't alone. You were with somebody. I was with my buddy Pat. We were in first grade. And we shared a cigarette behind the shed at his house. And then we puked together. I wasn't alone when I tried my first cigarette. I wasn't alone when I, you know, smoked my first joint. Wasn't alone when I took acid first time or cocaine. Some of you are really starting to lose any confidence in me at all, so I'm just going to move on. Who I choose to walk with rubs off on me. I'm so proud of hundreds of you that made a choice to jump into growth groups this season, because you have put yourself in a position to begin to have some folks rub off on you that are going to, they're going to bring some wisdom and some insight and some encouragement. So well done. Way to go. Proverbs 19. A hot-tempered person must pay the penalty. Rescue them and you'll have to do it again. Wow. Wash, rinse, repeat. This is a great description of the not judging. You know, this never judge philosophy, it's this never-ending cycle. So what's the alternative? Romans 12, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. First of all, if it's possible, it may not be possible. And once you begin to draw some boundaries, they may go, I don't like those boundaries. Well, I don't want to live codependently. Well, too bad. And sometimes we're afraid to draw the boundaries because we don't want to face the reality of the relationship where it's really at. But we need to get healthy. And the best hope for that relationship to ever be healthy is maybe to draw some lines. What makes peace possible often is healthy boundaries. Boundaries that define what's going to be healthy for me, and then boundaries that define what's going to be healthy for us. Both are important. So what's healthy love look like? Well, healthy love looks like making a choice to love regardless of where the feelings are. You know, healthy love is all about taking action, not just yapping your flapper jaw about how much you love. What are you actually doing? What are the actions, regardless of where the feelings are? And then healthy love sets boundaries that are good for us, not just you and not just me, but good for us. And any of these steps that you take, they're work, man. They're work, and they take time. There's no one and done on this. And so if you're thinking, well, I'm going to set these boundaries, we're going to take care of this today. Well, you know, hold on. It's going to take some time. And also in this process, God wants us to be patient and kind in the process. Sometimes we're afraid to draw boundaries because we don't want to be mean. Just want to be mean. I'm a nice person. I want to be nice. I want everybody to like me. I need to be needed. Ephesians 4:2. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. You know, that's part of it, is making allowances, giving people some time to grow into the changes that maybe you're dealing with. That's okay, but it's not forever. But it's still patience needs to be put into play. And I find the strength to be patient when I'm reminded of how patient God is with me. He forgives me again and again. He encourages me to begin again all the time. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. The person you're married to is a sinner, just like you. So are the people that you work with and the friends who bug you. They're jacked up too, just like you. We're all in this together. That's why forgiveness has to be a part of any relationship of love. And when you love another person, you make yourself vulnerable. There's risk involved, but it is so worth the risk. One of our members of our church wrote an e-devotional recently. Maybe you saw it, but let me read part of it to you. I'm an overachiever. I have aced all my tests throughout my life, during school and after. Yet I flunked out of therapy. A couple years after marrying my beautiful spouse, things got ugly. We both hurt each other, which culminated in infidelity. We really went too far. In our eyes, there was no restoration. We tried a therapist who finally kicked us both out of the office. His final assessment was that we were so in tune with each other that even our body language could trigger a quarrel. A roll of the eyes, a shrug of the shoulders is all it took for World War III to start. We had so many excuses to quit our marriage and go our separate ways, three-year-old baby and all. A few months later, during a heart-to-heart, my spouse suggested we go to a local church about to launch a series on leaving the past in the past. How could you leave this hurtful past, I thought to myself. When I met Christ at that service, I wept. I bowed my head and I surrendered. I knew what I had to do in my marriage. It took a supernatural strength to stop reacting to every little trigger. I stopped being on the defense. I started listening. How? I had to die to myself, to my desire to win, my desire to be right. I had to start looking out for the person beside me, for her wishes and desires, and understand she had the same hurts, fears, and doubts. In this difficult process, I learned about God's definition of love. Wow. You know, to love another is going to mean vulnerability. It's going to mean honesty, looking in the mirror at yourself. And it's going to mean humility. But the results are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Everyone wants those. Everyone wants those.